Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. Amelie is a new musical that follows the quest of an inquisitive and introverted young Frenchwoman, played by Philippa Soux, who morphs the streets of Montmartre into a world of her own imagining while quietly creating moments of joy for the people she works with and lives near. Directed by Tony Award winner Pam MacKinnon, Amelie has a book by three-time Tony Award nominee Craig Lucas, music by Daniel Massey, and lyrics by Massey and Nathan Tyson. The musical is based on the 2001 French film of the same name by Jean-Pierre Jeunet and Guillaume Laurent, and in 2015 had its critically acclaimed world premiere at Berklee Repertory Theatre. It opens tonight at the Walter Kerr Theatre on Broadway. Tony Sheldon plays Dufayel, Amelie's brittle-boned neighbor who paints Renoir's Luncheon of the Boating Party over and over again for years. Sheldon also plays Collignon, the mean-spirited local grocer. In the vibrant production, all of the actors provide an ensemble of bright spirits who inspire and achieve what Amelie sees in her imagination. Tony Sheldon is an award-winning Australian actor who has worked frequently in his homeland on London's West End and off-Broadway. He was previously seen on Broadway in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, for which he earned a Tony nomination. Tony Sheldon, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you, Sarah.
Did you know the film before you heard about the stage show of Amelie?
I'd only seen it the once, and I really didn't remember what it was about. I remembered more the look of the film, the colours of the film, the images. And I think that's a fairly common thing with people when they talk about Amelie. They don't really remember the events of the film. It's been interesting putting the show together because we've sort of been cherry-picking the storylines as we go, chopping and changing, substituting, swapping things in and out to see what works best theatrically.
Developing a new musical is a process that is so complicated, and I don't know how many people know that. A lot of people do, of course, but it, while you're in previews, it changes every day. How do you keep track of what you're doing on stage each night until they lock the show?
It takes a great deal of concentration, I have to tell you. I've done a few of these now. In fact, in the last 18 months, I've worked on 4 original musicals here. And a lot of it has to do with the flexibility of the creative team, because some people, especially if they've been working on the show for a great many years, can be married to the material. And they either don't want to change it or they become incapable of changing it. They don't know any other way to tell the story. It seems to me that the creative teams who are fresher sometimes are more willing to write new songs or write new scenes, probably because they don't know any other way to do it, you know. So certainly with Amelie, because we have a fledgling team in Dan Massey and Nathan Tyson, who'd not written a show together before, we've had a lot of new songs come and go. And Craig Lucas, who was a Tony winner and a Tony nominee for American in Paris, he's, as I said, he's whole characters have come and gone in this show. One of the roles I play is the grumpy grocer, Collignon, who in the film, Amelie gaslights him. She sneaks into his apartment and rearranges things just to freak him out. And I said to one of the cast, I wish that storyline had been in the show. And they said, 3 years ago it was. They said he had a whole song about how he was going nuts. But that was in a workshop before I even joined the cast. And it was decided that was a story that didn't need telling in this interpretation. It's very much focused now on Amelie and Nino, the male lead. It's been a process of trying to find out how to make Amelie sing, because she's an introvert. And when we first tried out the show in San Francisco, she didn't really have any songs of her own. It was all the subsidiary characters. And the breakthrough for the composers has been giving her a wonderful opening number now that she sings, Times Are Hard for Dreamers. It very much establishes who she is, and it's an up number, and it's a great introduction for Philippa Soux.
You play the grocer you mentioned, and Dufayel, the painter with brittle bones, who's a real, like, moving force. He's a large help to her getting out there and accomplishing things. And then other times on stage, you are a part of the ensemble. In your mind as an actor, when you're in the ensemble and you're not really someone, and you're certainly not Dufayel, who are you?
This is what we often ask our creatives. We're known as the blue coat people because we all wear blue coats and hats. We're sort of the townspeople, but I suppose we represent Amelie's spirit or
kind of a Greek chorus.
Yes, we are a Greek chorus, even though we don't speak. We're just there. Sort of, the thing about Amelie is that she lives in her imagination. It's said, one of the lines in the show is, she lives quietly in the world and loudly in her imagination. So she conjures up images in her head. And I think the idea of the townspeople of Paris suddenly singing and dancing with umbrellas behind her is something that's in her brain that suddenly the audience sees. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the best way to explain it, because it's a question that we always, whenever we're given a new piece of choreography or a new dance number in those blue coats, we tend to stare down our director and choreographer and say, exactly who are we at this point? And we force them into an explanation just for our own peace of mind.
Sure, you have to know who you are and what you're doing.
Exactly.
When you are Dufayel, tell us about the challenges and pleasures you're finding in that role. I remember from the film just loving him. I was so excited when I found out you were playing him here. And what does he mean to you? What does he do? What do you do with him?
He's the only person in the show who's not part of the cafe where Amelie works. She has her group of people around her, her friends, the eccentrics who people the two windmills, and there's the blind beggar outside in the metro. But Dufayel lives in the building, and Amelie spies on him because she likes to look out her window through her telescope, and she sees this strange man who's always painting the same painting over and over again. Renoir's The Luncheon of the Boating Party. He's called the Glass Man because he suffers from, as you say, the brittle bone problem. But I think what I love about him is that he is frustrated by Amelie's inability to join the human race and to get outside and live her own life instead of the lives of others, because she's taken it upon herself to be an anonymous do-gooder, because he can't leave his house. He's incapable. And that is what he would love more than anything, is to be able to go out and find love and meet people. But he's stuck inside his house. And so his mission is to make her fulfill what she is capable of. And I love having that role. It's an active role in the process, in the show. And he's also the last one who gives her that final push out the door to meet her destiny.
Because he has such a contained life, as far as we know, in the show, did you think about what his life had been up to when we meet him in the show? Has he always had the brittle bone disease, or is it something that comes on?
No, it's something that you're born with. And I did research it, and I watched YouTubes of a lot of children. The ones that I saw actually were able to move about quite freely. I thought they were going to be wrapped in cotton wool, but it's just that it does become a, as the years go on, they do suffer these injuries, and that's what makes them frail. And they're certainly capable of living long lives. So I realized that, it says in the script that he has a cane, but I would have played him without the cane had that not been specified. And I'm a homebody myself, so I quite understand that thing of not leaving your room for weeks or months on end. So I could relate to that. But yes, I did quite a bit of research into the condition.
That's interesting that you self-identify as a homebody, but you're also an actor. You have to go out and see so many people when you're working.
I'm a very shy person, and I really don't cope at all in a room with more than four or five people. Parties are hell for me, and certainly opening nights are some special form of torture for people who don't cope very well. I think a lot of actors are like that, though. It's something about assuming characters and being something other than yourself. But I grew up in a family of actors. My grandparents were in vaudeville and my parents were performers and my aunt is a rock singer, Helen Reddy.
Of course.
So it's the family business. It wasn't really a choice. It was just something that I've done since I was 7 years old. And so you got to take the consequences of that.
And then stay in sometimes to preserve your own mind.
Oh, yes, very much so. Although I do love to go to the theatre. I haven't lost my love for being entertained. I can go and see a show and completely switch off and be uncritical and just enjoy myself. And invariably, that's what I do on my day off. But I will go alone and just love the experience of going into another world.
You did the show in San Francisco, you mentioned, and now it's here in New York City. Are the audiences different? Is there a coastal difference?
I don't think so. And especially coming from another country, having done the bulk of my work in Australia and having played in the West End for a year, audiences tend to be made up of tourists anyway. So they're all from other places. Most of our audiences in LA were people who'd come over from New York. No, I don't think so. Although New York audiences are a very special breed, certainly in the early days of a show, because they are the real aficionados. It was interesting, our first preview for Amelie in New York, you could have heard a pin drop, and that was unusual. There wasn't any coughing. It was absolutely focused concentration. And they were very young, because Philip Pasu's core audience are kids. They're little girls who know her from Hamilton and the Hamilton cast album. And we discovered this in Los Angeles, that the audience was teenage girls, which really surprised me, because Hamilton hasn't even played Los Angeles. But they knew her from the album. And a scream goes up when she first appears. And it happened last night. And it took us half an hour to get out of the theatre because they were all lined up waiting. And for that level of concentration and listening was really exciting for us. And I think it's because certainly for the first few weeks, the first couple of months of a show in New York, they're a real theatre audience. And that you don't find anywhere else in the world.
We're so happy to have you here, and I'm so glad to speak with you. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for asking me, Sarah.
Tony Sheldon plays Dufayel in Amelie, a new musical. The show opens on Broadway tonight at the Walter Kerr Theater. For more information, visit AmelieBroadway.com. That link will be posted along with this interview at WAMC.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.